Dear people of God, the first Christians observed with great devotion the days of our Lord's passion and resurrection, and it became the custom of the church to prepare for them by a season of penitence and fasting. This season of Lent provided a time in which converts to the faith were prepared for holy baptism. It was also a time when those who, because of notorious sins, had been separated from the body of the faithful were reconciled by penitence and forgiveness and restored to the fellowship of the church. In this manner, the whole congregation was put in mind of the message of pardon and absolution set forth in the gospel of our Savior, and of the need that all Christians continually have to renew our repentance and faith. So I invite you, therefore, in the name of the church, to the observance of a holy Lent, by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. And to make a right beginning, let us now pray for grace that we may faithfully keep this Lent. Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing that you have made and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may obtain of you, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. The word of the Lord.
The second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at the 20th verse. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry, but as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors, yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The Gospel of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we ask that you would give John your word for us this evening. We ask that your word would be spoken, that we would hear your word, and that you would bless the one you've called to deliver it tonight. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.
Amen. Happy Valentine's Day. If you got chocolate, I hope you enjoy it. Unless you gave up chocolate for Lent, then you have to wait 40 days. As much as I'd love to talk about St. Valentine, we're going to talk about something a little more serious and about somebody that I know a little bit more about. Me. At least a younger version of me. So if you would, join me as we go back to 1996, 1997. Saturday morning cartoons were still around, and so was metal playground equipment. Genetically modified foods weren't labeled yet, and thankfully Facebook did not exist. And I was in the seventh grade at Forest Brook Middle School. Seventh grade John had more hair up here and less belly here. He liked comic books, he loved the Ghostbusters and Star Wars. Those things are still true. He was polite, he didn't drink, he didn't do drugs, and he got mostly good grades except for math. Sadly, he was also an insufferable little hypocrite. At the time, I called myself a Christian, but I didn't really know what that meant. I did all the stuff I thought Christians were supposed to do. I wore Christian t-shirts. I only listened to Christian radio stations. And I made sure to bring my Extreme Teen Study Bible to school every single day. Those things are fine in and of themselves, but I was using them to get attention. I was using them to give myself glory instead of giving God glory. My Extreme Teen Bible had on the cover a picture of a skateboarder. I don't really know what that has to do with the Bible, but it looked really cool. And I carried it with me everywhere. But the thing is, I hardly ever opened it. Instead of reading it to learn about God and grow closer to Him, I used it to show how good I was, how righteous I was. I was more concerned with people thinking I read my Bible than actually reading it. I didn't really like the Christian music on the radio stations, but listening to it made me think that I was better than the other kids who listened to Marilyn Manson or Korn. That's Korn with a K. They were very big in the 90s. Most of the Christian t-shirts I wore, as it turns out, were made in China. Sweatshops. But I didn't care about the people who worked 18 hours a day for pennies, just as long as the writing was big enough for everybody to see. So everybody on the playground could see how much I loved Jesus. But the thing is, I didn't really care about Jesus. He was just a means to an end. I wanted people to think I cared about him, but I didn't. Thankfully, that phase only lasted a year or two. And eventually, I opened up that Bible. And it showed me two things. The first is who I was. A sinner. Lost, miserable, and alone. And it showed me who God was. Loving, merciful, gracious, a father who cares for his children and did not want to leave them lost and alone. And so that brings us back to tonight. Ash Wednesday, the first day of Lent, the 40 days of prayer and fasting that lead us to the celebration of Easter. Christians observe Lent all over the world across denominations. Each church has its own traditions and customs and ways of observing this time of year. Some Christians use it as a time to reflect on God's word and to draw closer while fasting and focusing on their prayer life. Others use it to just be quiet, to listen. But how we observe Lent isn't as important as why. And so tonight I want to share with you a couple of things of what I think Lent is about and what it isn't. First, what it's not. Lent is not a diet or a loss plan. We should not put Lent on the same shelf as Atkins or Jenny Craig. And while traditionally we do give something up for Lent, and most of the time it's food, we should only fast to help us remember in a small way what Jesus gave up for us. Two, Lent is not a way for us to pay for our sins. It's so easy to fall into the trap of believing and seeing God as standing in front of a large scale. Anytime we do something good, he puts one here. When we do something bad, he puts one here. And hopefully when we die, the good outweighs the bad. It's not how it works. No matter how good we are, we're never good enough. In Ephesians chapter 2, St. Paul tells us that it's grace that is the way that God saves us through faith, not our good works. That way none of us can boast. Instead of boasting about how good we are, let's use this Lent to boast about how good God is. Third, Lent is not a way for us to show how Christian we are. This is what Jesus was talking about in tonight's gospel. He was warning us against the hypocrisy of using our religion to get attention, of doing good deeds to give ourselves glory instead of glorifying God, of using fancy words and elaborate long-winded prayers instead of speaking to God as the children he wants us to be. Tonight's gospel has in it the perfect prayer. Have you ever taken a moment to realize how simple the Lord's Prayer is? So simple, but it says so much. And one of the most powerful features of that prayer are the first two words. The prayer that invites us to call the one who created everything our Father. I'm not a father. Never had kids. But I do have a niece and nephew. You've probably seen them around. One's about this tall, brunette, hair right back here. The other one's a little shorter, curly-haired little blonde fella. And when they want something, they just ask. They don't write a poem, they don't write a long letter, they just ask. And they show their affection the exact same way. Some of the best moments are when I walk into a room and those two little people run at me at full force and give me the biggest hug I've ever gotten. Of course, most of the time they're expecting a lollipop or a Kit Kat. So this Lent, let's approach God the way Jesus wants us to. As a child running to their parent. If those two kids could make me feel that way and I'm just an uncle, how much more do their parents feel when they do it? And how much even more does God feel when we run to him? Arms open wide, with love in our hearts, and he embraces us with a love that never fails. So that's what Lent isn't. So what is it? First, Lent is a reminder of where we came from, who we used to be, and where we're going. It's a reminder It reminds us of the garden in Genesis, where God formed Adam from the dust. Adam walked with God in the garden, but Adam turned from God and sinned. Romans 5:12 says that it was through Adam that sin entered the world, and his sinful nature was passed down to all of us, and now our natural inclination is to sin. And with that sin came death, physical as well as spiritual. Ephesians 2:1 tells us that we're dead in our sins. And Psalm 51, which we'll read together later, says that we were brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. But there's good news. Because Lent is also a reminder that Jesus alone paid for our sins. Romans 5, we read that just as death and sin entered the world through Adam, new life is given through Christ. Jesus, who knew no sin, was made sin for us so that we could become righteous. 1 Peter chapter 2, he himself bore our sins on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And by his wounds, we are healed. And finally, Lent is a reminder that God is not finished. When we place our faith in Jesus, we're made brand new. St. Paul says that we become new creations. Our old selves are gone. God is still at work, and he's still calling people to be his children. And he does so through his church, you and me. We continue the same ministry of Jesus. It's up to us to share the good news with friends, family, neighbors, strangers, anyone that God puts in our path. But we have to remember one very important thing. We cannot save anyone. There are no nail marks in our hands and feet. But we can show them the one who saved us. We become what St. Paul calls an ambassador for Christ. We are entrusted with his message of reconciliation to share it with the whole world. Bishop David, our former pastor, always said that we're just beggars who found bread, and we're telling other beggars where to find it. And so, we begin Lent. If you choose to fast and give something up you enjoy, excellent. Use it as a way to remember what Jesus gave up for you. When you pray this Lent, remember to pray the way Jesus taught us, like a child speaking with a father who loves them. This Lent, ask God to help you forgive as you have been forgiven. Forgiveness isn't always easy, but remember that God has forgiven you, and he will forgive through you. This Lent, remember what Jesus has done for you and share that love. Feed the hungry. Visit the lonely and those in prison. Clothe the naked. Do the things, but don't do these things to earn your way into heaven. Instead, do them because the price of our sins has already been paid, and the love of God will overflow within you. Don't store up treasures here on earth. Don't worry about showing how religious you are to the kids on the playground or the people in the office. Don't worry about how many likes you get on your Facebook post about how you've gone 2 weeks without chocolate. Instead, store up treasures in heaven. Do these things so God can see them, not us. And remember, the greatest treasure we have is God himself, our creator, our sustainer, our savior, our friend, and our father. And so tonight we remember that we are dust, and our bodies will one day go to the grave. But tonight, and all through Lent, I ask you to do one thing. Pay attention. Listen to the words of the liturgy each week. Listen to the scriptures being read. Breathe them in. They are pointing us, as Lent is pointing us, to Jesus, to the cross. Lent is a journey, and it ends on a Saturday, the Saturday after the cross. When it looked like death had won and sin was victorious. But Easter was just one day away. When death was destroyed and the grave was emptied. Yes, we are dust, but we will rise from the dust to new life with Christ. And so this Lent, let's turn our eyes to Jesus and away from ourselves. Amen.